is a warm summer night on a hilltop far from the bright lights of the city. A group of beginner students in astronomy gazes up at the northern stars. Their instructor is speaking.
The easiest way to identify the constellations is to start with Ursa Major, the Big Dipper.
This is Dan Oakes. Welcome to the History of Comics, the Short Runs. This is Season 1, Episode 2, Black Goliath. So welcome back to the History of Comics, the Short Run. I am Dan, and I am a comic book collector from St. Louis, Missouri. This episode, we're going to be focusing on a 1970s series called Black Goliath from Marvel Comics. All right, so who are we talking about today? There have been a couple Goliath characters in Marvel Comics. The first one that I'm aware of is Hank Pym of the Avengers, who went from Ant-Man to Goliath in those early issues of the Avengers. What's interesting is that the Black Goliath has his first appearance in those early issues of the Avengers as well, but we're going to come back to that one later. Another character to take the mantle of Goliath was one of my favorite characters in the Marvel Universe, Mr. Clint Barton, a.k.a. Hawkeye. He had a brief run at being Goliath in the Avengers as well. But today, we are discussing Bill Foster, the Black Goliath. The series I am talking about today is from 1976, and it is a five-issue series simply called Black Goliath. So the character is a black male superhero dressed in a dark, kind of royalish blue bodysuit. He has a yellow belt, yellow boots and gloves, and has a yellow flared-out collar. Does not have a cape, at least in this series. His costume and name have changed in follow-up appearances after the series, but for this series, his costume pretty much stays the same all the way through. His superpowers, he can increase his size from the average height to 15 feet. This, in turn, allows him to have increased strength. He can also shift his sizes at will and does not require any kind of special formula or device to do this. He is capable of athletic feats at a high level. He's got some fighting skills. He does not have invulnerable skin, but his injuries are commensurate with the size and bulk of who he is. He is also a scientist with considerable skills in the organic sciences. The tag at the top of each issue says,
Dr. Bill Foster, Dr. William Barrett Foster, DSC, PhD, a child of the ghetto who has pulled himself up out of the Los Angeles slums to become the director of one of the nation's most prestigious research labs, a man whose research has given him the power to instantaneously grow to a height of 15 feet, with the strength of a true giant, a man who becomes a hero. Stan Lee presents Black Goliath.
So Bill Foster is the secret identity of the Black Goliath. Tony Isabella is credited with creating the character of Black Goliath, but the name and the individual Bill Foster makes his first appearance in Avengers issue 32. He was hired as a lab assistant to help Hank Pym, a.k.a. the original Goliath. He assists Hank in returning back to his normal size after being stuck in his Goliath height. The story in Avengers 32 is credited as being written by Stan Lee, but Bill Foster continues to make different appearances as a supporting character, only as Bill Foster and not as the Black Goliath. The Black Goliath character itself made his first appearance in Power Man issue 24, in 1976. This issue was written by Tony Isabella, which is where I think the credit for him creating the character actually comes from. So where did I first come across the Black Goliath? I first came across the Black Goliath when reading issues of the 1970s group called The Champions. I had recently completed my run of the Champions and decided to read through the entire series. For those that don't know, the Champions was a supergroup based in Los Angeles and not in New York like most other Marvel supergroups. The group consisted of the Angel, Black Widow, Ghost Rider, Darkstar, Hercules, and Iceman. It was created by Tony Isabella as well as Don Heck. As we know, Tony Isabella is also the person that created Black Goliath, so you can start to see where some of these issues and characters cross over. In issue 11 of the Champions, Bill Foster slash Black Goliath helps the Champions out. I didn't know of the character until that appearance. From there, I came across his appearances in Marvel 2-in-1, issues 24 and 55. Marvel 2-in-1 was a comic series that ran for 100 issues that essentially took the character of The Thing from the Fantastic Four and paired him up with different superheroes. It is very similar to the Marvel team-up in which they did the same thing with Spider-Man. In issue 55, the cover is confusing because it says The Thing and Giant Man, not the Black Goliath. Apparently, Giant Man was the same character. It sounds like Marvel was experimenting with the character because not only did they have a name change, his costume is different from the costume that he has in the Black Goliath 5-issue series. So some basic information regarding this series. The release date, so the first issue has a cover date of February 1976. It's considered to be in the Bronze Age. Again, the Bronze Age goes from 1970 to 1983, and this is a time period where the Comics Code Authority starts to loosen up, and there's a little bit more attention to realism in most of the comics. There are 5 issues of the comic for this Black Goliath series, and each comic has 32 pages. The paper that it's printed on is your typical newsprint paper from that time period, and each cover shows Black Goliath on the cover, and it shows essentially a scene from the story, which does match the story within the book. That is not always the case, particularly as we saw in the Human Fly issues, where the covers were exaggerations of what the story plot line was. For the covers of Black Goliath, they pretty much take a snapshot of an action scene from the story itself, so it does match up fairly well. So for a brief summary of the 5 issues, we'll start with issue 1, and then I'll come back to who the creative team are. So in issue 1, there is a brief flashback of Black Goliath's appearances in those early issues of Avengers and Power Man comics. In this issue, we also meet the team of scientists that work under him at Stark Labs. As you may recall, Bill is an organic chemist or scientist in some form, and he works at Stark Labs and oversees the LA branch of Stark Labs for Tony Stark. Within his team of people that he supervises and works with, he calls them the Whiz Kids, and they're not kids, they're actually adults. The characters' names for the group in the Whiz Kids are Herbert Bell, Dale West, and Talia Kruma. We do not see these characters in any other issues outside of this 5 run of Black Goliath. At the end of the issue, he has a fight with a character named the Atom Smasher, and that will actually continue into issue 2. So Tony Isabella wrote the first issue, and then issues 2, 3, 4, and 5, we see Chris Claremont take over. Now this is before Chris Claremont was actually writing for the X-Men, and he covers issues 2, 3, 4, and 5. Chris's writing is different in the sense that he will create multiple plot lines within an issue, which is vastly different than what Marvel was doing at the time, which most comic book companies were doing. Kind of a one-and-done issue where everything takes place within 32 pages. Chris has a plot line that will start. He may have a character drop a hint about something that will come 2 issues later, and we start to see that in the writing for issues 2, 3, 4, and 5. So in issue 2, the fight continues with the Atom Smasher. After the fight, the Black Goliath is dazed and passes out. He is found by a character who is new to the series called Celia Jackson, who ends up taking him to her place for him to recover because he's been kind of dazed and confused. They start a romantic relationship, and you can see Chris Claremont start to do the things where he begins planting these different plot lines to follow up with later. The romantic interest is one, some infighting between the Whiz Kid group is another, and then at the end of the issue, Black Goliath tracks down Atom Smasher and fights him again. In issue 3, the fight with the Atom Smasher continues. There's an assassin sharpshooter that kills the Atom Smasher within the first couple pages. This is also where another possible plotline is being developed by Claremont. Tony Stark makes an appearance, demanding to know where Bill Foster is because he is Bill's employer and he wants to know exactly what's going on. There's a flashback about Talia's previous life. Remember, she's one of the Whiz Kids. And again, this is a plot seed planted by Chris Claremont that he would likely have picked up had the series continued. There's also a new gang that tries to break into the LA Stark Labs. With this new gang of people that are trying to break into the lab, a new villain comes on the scene, and his name is Vulcan. So as we get to issue 4, there's more fighting with this new gang. The character Stiltman begins robbing banks, and Black Goliath fights him. At the end of the issue, Stiltman shoots Black Goliath as he blocks Celia and her nephew Keith, who just happens to be in the area, with this new Z-ray gun. The last panel of the comic shows that they have disappeared or been killed. And then we come to the last issue, issue 5. And the reader finds out that the Z-gun blast transported Black Goliath, Celia, and Keith, her nephew, to another planet in a distant galaxy. They meet up with an alien named Durath, and he is also trapped on this planet. He saves them from an attack by this native creature, and he ends up leading them to this large pyramid that has technology that can possibly help them all get home. While in the pyramid, a large robot designed to protect the pyramid comes to life. It kills Durath, but Black Goliath and Celia destroy the robot, and this is where the issue ends. So that's it. That's the end of the series. It drops off with no resolution to the story. I cannot find any evidence that this story gets resolved in another series. It just ends right there. So in the book, Marvel Comics, The Untold Story by Sean Howe, he references this time period. And he states on page 155,
Len Wein struggled with the constant cycle of cancellation and launches ordered by Lee and Landu. Iron Fist, a Kung Fu hero, whose origin was mostly lifted from an old Bill Everett creation that predated Timely Comics, was given his own title, as was Black Goliath, in an attempt at an African-American audience. And also Red Sonja, and the Scarecrow, and Skull the Slayer, and Bloodstone, and on. You'd go into the office one day, said the assistant, and 30 books you edited last week would all be canceled. Even though they were in the various stages of production, none of them was published yet, and 30 new books would be there for you to work on.
There are two issues that are considered key issues by the CLZ app. The first issue in the series, issue 1, and the last issue of the series, issue 5. I can understand why the first issue of this short run could be considered a key. It's really about the establishment of Black Goliath and the greater Marvel Universe. But in terms of the last issue, I can't exactly put my finger on why that is considered a key issue. It does vary from the rest of the 4 issues because it takes place and you can kind of start to see Chris Claremont and his writing and some of the things that he would start to do later on with the X-Men. I'm not sure that this is the reason that that issue is considered a key issue. In terms of guest appearances or cameos, the only issue that really has anything of note from my perspective is issue 4, where you have an appearance by Tony Stark, and then you also have the appearance of Stiltman. If you're looking for those Stiltman appearances across different titles, this would be one as well. If you are interested in reading these 5 issues of Black Goliath, you're in good luck. It is currently on the Marvel Unlimited app as of 2024. I could not find a collected edition or trade of the issues, which was kind of surprising. This would be a really good collection if you gathered these 5 issues with maybe some of the Power Man appearances, as well as some of those Marvel 2-in-1 appearances. I know there's enough interest in readership, because when I looked online, there was a lot of information about the character Black Goliath, as well as his appearances. I'm a little surprised that there's not currently a trade out there collecting some of the issues that I've talked about. If you are interested in collecting some of the physical issues, so for me, I only had 2 of the physical issues. I have issue 2 and 4. The other 3 issues, 1, 3, and 5, I read digitally for this podcast. But I'm currently looking for the rest of those issues, and I am not having a lot of luck finding those issues out in the wild. So typically when I run into those situations, I look at mycomicshop.com for back issues that I have a hard time trying to find in the wild, and I have seen that they do have some of the issues. What's interesting about this is that the first issue can be kind of pricey. The other issues can range in price. To me, this is a book that I really don't think I should be paying more than $2 or $3 an issue for, but I think other people disagree with me on that. So if you are looking to find these 5 back issues out in the wild, just know that the price range could be widely different. So the 2 issues that I did pick up, I found in dollar bins. The other issues, I'm going to have to go online and pay probably full retail price for those issues. Why might you want to add this to your collection? If you like Chris Claremont's writing, particularly if you're a fan of Uncanny X-Men, then these issues show him early in his career. If you like the comics version of Blaxploitation, then this series definitely falls into that category. If you're a collector of creations by Tony Isabella, then this series, regardless of the fact that he only wrote 1 of the 4 issues, falls into that category. He's also noted for creating DC's Black Lightning, as well as others. I also mentioned that he was a co-creator for the team, the Champions. So there's a lot of creations of his out there that someone could take and curate a collection just based off the work of Tony Isabella.
The Hulk, alter ego of Dr. David Banner. The Hulk, the other side of the coin. The raging soul of an otherwise peaceful man. The incredible Hulk. Huge, powerful, unthinking, destructive, wanted for murder.
Well, I'm not wanted for murder, but I do have a short run no prize for this week. Irving, and I'm going to spell the last name, W-A-T-A-N-A-B-E. Is an actual person. In the last episode, I mistakenly identified his name as a placeholder. I didn't think it was a real person. Sure enough, he's a famous letterer. I wondered if I had made a mistake because as I was putting together this episode, his name came up as a letterer for issues 1 and 5 of Black Goliath. When I looked him up on the Google net, he came up as a real person. My apologies for that to Mr. Irving. I hope he can forgive my error there. As always, a big thanks to all those that helped out with the production of this episode. I'd like to thank our legal firm, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. Artwork by Jake, not the one from State Farm. Recording assistance from the wonderful staff at Center Neptune. And distribution by WLF Publications. Next episode, I don't quite know what I'm going to do yet. I have lots of new comics that came in this week, and I'm still reviewing selections. So stay tuned.